You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hi, I'm Danny J.
And I'm Jill Coleman.
Welcome to the Best Life Podcast.
Here, we talk about everything from success, money, relationships and entrepreneurship, to productivity, honest communication, positive psychology, and how to cultivate an abundance mindset.
Make money, travel the world, deepen your relationships, live full out.
This is the best life.
And I'm turning the mic on.
Actually, let me write a note real quick because I wanted to not forget. I always forget people's names like right when it comes up, so I have to write it down. Lex Friedman, he's like podcaster, right?
Podcast guy, yeah.
Yep, and then
before we came on today, I was actually just reading a article by New York Magazine. I mean, it's like the New Yorker, but New York Magazine, this section. Andrew Huberman's Mechanisms of Control, the Private and Public Seductions of the World's Biggest Pop Neuroscientists. I think it has to do with him being a little bit of a womanizer, but I haven't finished the entire article yet, but I am excited to read it. But anyway, the only reason, the reason that brought up, because Lex Friedman was the first podcaster to have Huberman on back in like 2019 or something. And then obviously since then I just read that and he like has blown up since then. So
interesting. I saw one of his, I mean, I don't think I saw the first one, but I saw an interview with Huberman on the podcast. It seemed like one that they had done before. They're like buddies for sure.
Yeah, they're friends. So anyway, actually, Danny and I were together last week. We went on a girls' trip, snowboarding, a little belated birthday weekend for Danny. And we were talking about how this is an election year and what one of the upgrades or the updates that Instagram just made to its platform is that it is now defaulting. It's a brand new setting where you can toggle on or off seeing political content on the platform. So you can actually opt out of seeing political content on the platform. And people are upset because that's like the default setting. So they just put it in. And the default setting is that you don't want to see political content on the platform. And I thought this would be an interesting discussion for us to have around how much you expose yourself to political content. Is it irresponsible to not keep up with the news, to not watch the news, to not know what's going on politically, maybe even especially during a an election year? What are your thoughts on this? And do people need to keep up with the news regardless of the outcome, you know, their effect on them? Is it irresponsible not to keep up with it, especially because it's an election year? What do you think?
Well, I mean, politics or not, you know, some people, I remember growing up, my parents at the end of every night turning on the news. And I remember grandparents reading the newspaper. And it was like, it seemed back then really important that you knew what was going on in the news and you pay attention. And I had a mentor in 2014. He said, I stopped paying attention to the news when they stopped reporting it and started creating it. And that has always stuck with me because I feel like today's news is not the same news we had in the past. And we know this because during the last few election years, especially 2016 was when I first noticed it, because I feel like that was the year where it was really extra divisive. That was when it was Hillary versus Trump. The reason I'd say that the news is created is because you could flip on CNN and watch a story, and then you could flip on Fox and see the same story, but a completely different version of the story. And that's when I started to realize that journalism has kind of taken a turn. And I didn't so much care that much at the time. But this year, I've just been doing a little bit more digging and found that there's money behind these organizations, CNN, Fox, NBC, ABC, all of these big corporations. And a lot of times their political agenda is pushed whoever owns the company and whatever quote side they're on, the right or left. And so I now I'm of the opinion of the news is, I don't want to say it's arbitrary, but it's really hard to know what's truth and what's not. And what's really getting even more scary is this new wave of AI where news could be created, stories can be pushed that aren't true. Stories can be throttled. I know during the last two elections, there was a lot of litigation around stories being suppressed, certain candidates being suppressed, or certain candidates being pushed in algorithms, and that affected elections. And so I'm now like very, very, I don't want to say cautious, but I don't watch the news, especially not on television, not on any networks. And I've started to kind of pay attention, and it's been really like recently, and I mean in the last maybe 12 weeks, looking at independent journalists. And I even say journalists with like some quotes, because I wouldn't say Joe Rogan is a journalist, but he's like an independent media creator as we are. But looking at different people who are writing stories who maybe don't have someone behind them, who don't have an agenda, because it is just so hard to believe what's true and what's out there and is their agenda. So I, maybe 40 years ago, you know, paying attention to the news was important, but today it is really hard to know what is truth and what is not truth. And so when you say news, you want to think that news is objective, but today's news is not objective. And so I have a hard time with watching. I think so much is sensationalized. I think there's so much that is created, like back to the news being reported versus created, that is created to rile people up, get them excited, get them angry, get the algorithms to pump up more stories. Headlines even are created in ways that make you get angry. And so it's really tricky. It takes a lot more critical thinking today when you're paying attention to these stories than it used to. You used to be able to just read a story. And I even say used to, I don't know for sure, because I wasn't an adult in the 80s, but at least for my perception as a child, that it seemed more objective. But today I will say, I almost find that you have to like block yourself from news, and you have to own, like really, really filter what's coming in, because I think all the headlines are designed to like pull at you, make you angry, make you feel a certain way, reach to one side or another. And I feel like we've become these puppets, and these puppet masters are trying to manipulate our emotions. And so I don't even trust it. I don't trust any of it anymore. So I'm like, is it irresponsible to not know what's going on? I don't know. To me, there's a lot of things that I often don't know what's going on. And sometimes I'm like, ooh, maybe I should have known about that, but I'll look it up later. And then I try to take a really objective, like I read around it. I go on Twitter, I'm looking all over, but it's so hard in today's day to know what's real and what, you know, what to get all upset over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, I think it the news now feels like it's more like entertainment, right? Because I mean, especially if you think about what the goal is, right? So the goal is to keep someone watching your show for as long as possible. So then of course they're going to, if they know, like, you know, Fox News or MSNBC or some of these more like one-sided news outlets, they know who their audience is, and they're going to keep feeding that person. So that person keeps watching that show or that channel. And, you know, I think there's something about, we like agreeing, right? Like we like seeing something that is agreeable. We like seeing something that is what we also believe, which is why it's so hard. Why would we ever want to go and see what the other side is saying? Like, you know what I mean? It's so hard to get someone to even care or want to know what the other side is, because you only get irate, you only get mad, you only get, and then it becomes about teams. And so if you think about a for-profit news outlet, they have to be hitting your dopamine centers, right? They have to be, even something like Instagram is designed to keep someone coming back. It's a media platform. It's designed to keep people coming back to it by giving you just these little sort of breadcrumbs, right, to keep you coming back to the platform because you're getting a little dopamine hit every time. So the same thing with any sort of news channel. It's like, okay, I'm going to read something that I agree with, or I'm going to watch something that I know I agree with, because then I can be like, yes, I can be self-righteous. I can feel like I'm right. I can definitely, you know, I have the right information. And the way that they, and look, like, you and I are marketers. News is marketing. It really is. Yeah. It's like designed to get you. It's compelling language to get you to believe something. It's not just, like you said, it's not just plainly sharing the facts, right? That's too boring. It doesn't keep someone coming back. It's not interesting when you just state the facts. You have to have the commentary and the argument and the compelling language on top of the story. The story is this. But what this means is, and then someone becomes a copywriter, right? Or someone becomes a marketer. They have to be, because it's all for profit. And so, you know, I think there's two things going on. One's this like idea of just playing to people's dopamine centers, right? And this idea that like, okay, I'm going to put things out there that are going to get people riled up or make them feel some kind of way or make them feel self-righteous or whatever. But then there's also this, like, if we're keeping up with the news as well as we can and trying to be informed, how does it benefit your life, the average person's life? How does it? I remember this. I heard Tim Ferriss say years ago that he was like, the quality of my life like increased tenfold when I just decided not to watch the news. And my initial thing at that time, this is about like 10, 15 years ago, was like, that's so irresponsible. But then I just think to myself, yeah, if I'm like constantly combing the news and trying to even find more clinical sources, more objective sources, how is it actually changing anything? It's almost like it feels like a reality show. You know, my dad, God love him, but he loves politics. Like, for him, it makes him, gives him a sense of purpose, you know, and I don't doubt it. I mean, I tend to agree with the way he sees things. But it does feel like a reality show. You know, it kind of feels like you're watching, it's like reality show for adults. It's, you know, whatever. It's like this, it almost feels like processed food of the news, you know,
yeah.
Like the sound bites and the headlines. And it feels like the processed food version of the news versus actually telling a story, a factual story.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But one thing I like about new media, if you could call it, like what we're doing, I think is new media, podcasting, even blogging of, you know, 2011. But I think blogging is making a little bit of a resurgence in places like Substack, is that we're able to create something of our own, and there's no machine behind it. There's no advertising dollars behind it. It's just people making content. The negative part about that is you can run rampant with,
there's no checks and balances,
conspiracy theories, and yep. People, you know, QAnon ran its thing. I don't know if that's still going or not, but there are people who will take an idea and run with it. And, you know, I was just telling you on the ski lift this weekend, the app, the Nextdoor app. We all, a lot mm-hmm. of people live in a neighborhood where you can put your neighborhood. It's called Nextdoor. And then we have a neighborhood Facebook group for our community. And there was this big loud bang, and Jeff posted on there, what was that? And so all these people started coming, like they heard it. And pretty soon there were people saying there was a plane crash and they heard a propeller. And suddenly there's just this whole story when it was a firework. There was no plane crash. But what happens on social media is that stories, you can take a little sliver of a story and it just starts to spiral out. And in fact, this just happened this weekend. The princess just announced that she had cancer. She did not say what kind of cancer she had. She said she had an abdominal surgery and cancer. And now I'm seeing stories about she has colon cancer. She has uterine cancer. She has stomach cancer. And it literally did not say what kind. And so now there's these spirals of what kind of cancer she has. And so I think the biggest piece of being informed is knowing what part of the story you know and knowing what you don't know, instead of adding on to more of the story. And it's so crazy out there how this game of telephone.
I was going to say, it's just
so wild. Yeah, it's just this wild game of telephone that goes completely wild. And you can't even get to the original source a lot of the time. So maybe at least for the princess, you can go back and watch the video she said and go, okay, this is exactly what she said. This is what she didn't say. But sometimes there's like a Twitter thread or something that goes, and then it turns into a blog, and then the blog, it turns onto something else. And you don't even know where the beginning is, what started this, and what's true, what's what's true and what's not. Even I quote eyewitnesses, people will say they were at, like, let's say eyewitness to that boom. You know, I heard it, Jeff heard it, but someone else heard it. And then they add a little thing to their story that they heard propellers. And then someone else adds to the story, oh, I saw a fire truck drive by. And someone else adds to the story, oh, it's right next to the airport. And pretty soon it's a plane crash next to the airport. And that's completely not true.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
So I don't know. I think we need to, as consumers, as just in people in general, need to be a lot more better critical thinkers. And we have to be slower to jump to assumptions. We have to be, we have to challenge our own beliefs. I've been really doing this a lot where I've been looking at somebody I don't necessarily agree with, listening to their interviews. I just watched one. So Tucker Carlson, and whatever you believe about Tucker Carlson, doesn't matter, right? He was on Fox News. He got kicked off or fired. He went on his own independent and he interviewed the Russian dude, which I'm blanking on his name right now, the head of Russia. And it was an interesting interview. I watched the entire thing, didn't get much out of it. But then Lex Fridman, who's a podcaster, interviewed Tucker Carlson. And Lex Fridman got a lot of shit from people who just don't like Tucker Carlson. And he's like, I just want to see who he is and ask him questions. I'm not here to tear him down. I think a good journalist can, even if they don't like someone's opinions or what they do, can just ask questions and listen and get information from someone. And even Tucker Carlson was doing that to the Russian leader. And it was fascinating to me to see how, like you said earlier, we often want to just agree and we want to watch people that we agree with. And if you can challenge yourself, and I think Lex Fridman said this at the beginning of the Tucker Carlson interview, was, I want to talk to people that I don't always necessarily agree with. I want to get into their head and see why they think the way they do. And for me, it was a valuable interview, both interviews to watch these men in their, you know, domain interviewing. And to bring this all around, there was a third one that I just watched, which was Don Lemon interviewing Elon Musk on, I think on X. And it didn't feel like an interview. It felt like an interrogation. And I've seen these different types of journalism where you're interviewing someone to get information. And then there's other types of journalism where you're interrogating someone almost as if you have an agenda behind. And again, back to the critical thinking, it's being able to watch these things and listen, even if I don't agree with Elon or like him or Don Lemon or Lex Fridman or Tucker Carlson, I'm not saying anything about any of these people, how I feel about them. But to be able to watch and see things from another perspective that maybe I don't agree with and see maybe the parts that I can agree with and go, okay, I can see where they came at, instead of just dismissing them completely or throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I've recently had conversations with friends who disagree with a political person. And I said, well, you know, watch an interview that they did. And they're like, well, I don't like the person who interviewed them. Mm-hmm. So they just throw it all out. And I'm going, well, mm-hmm. You're not going to get a full picture of everything if you're only listening through your echo chamber of people saying the same thing over and over. So I've been really trying to expand and listen to a lot of different voices that I wouldn't necessarily listen to because I could be wrong. And I think it's wildly, it is irresponsible of us to not open ourselves to other perspectives. I don't think it's irresponsible to not listen to any news or to not pay attention to any of it. I kind of think that might be the best thing for us. But I do think it's irresponsible to stay in our own echo chambers if we are against someone, I challenge anybody to maybe listen to other interviews of that person or hear what they're saying in another platform so that you can have both sides. I think, you know, when you're in, if you're on a debate team growing up or you're learning to debate, you have to be able to argue the other side just as well as you can argue your side. Mm. And so I really think that it's a great exercise in critical thinking and to be able to put yourself in the shoes of someone you don't necessarily agree with and that you agree with so that you can see where they're coming from and make your own argument stronger. So I'm really on the opinion of like, it's not irresponsible to not necessarily be informed, but also to, I think it's really, it is responsible to protect your inner peace and to protect where you're going and looking. And also to realize that if you find yourself being highly triggered, that it's probably you're being pulled by the puppet strings of the people who want you to be feeling that way. And to just be a little bit more mindful about it and kind of question it more, not like in a conspiracy theory way, but in the like, hey, maybe this is meant for me to be triggered for some reason. And maybe there is something behind this instead of just jumping on that like triggered bandwagon.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I could see people getting upset about Lex having Tucker on his podcast because there's this idea that even if your intention is I wanted to bring on someone who has a different, you know, perspective than me and like which all sounds great, and this isn't necessarily what I believe, but I think the storyline or the line of thinking is that if this person is harmful, like obviously that's a subjective sort of frame, then you're giving him a platform. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, so I think that would be, I think that's maybe the, I had something like this sort of happen to me years ago. This is when Jordan Peterson, this is like 2015, maybe this is like closer to like 2017, 2018, when Jordan Peterson was sort of coming out and a lot of folks immediately was like, he's a misogynist, he's, you know, racist, all these kind of things. And I didn't really, hadn't really heard much about that. I just hadn't heard of his book. And some people who I respected, you know, had read his book. And I was like, oh, he was coming to like a local little, he was giving a talk here locally in Southern California. So I just like bought the tickets and I put on my story that I was going to his talk. And I had a friend of mine who was like a really good friend of mine at the time respond back and say, I can't believe you even mentioned his name on your platform. You're giving a known racist and a known misogynist a platform. And meanwhile, I didn't say anything about the guy. I wasn't like, it was the best talk ever. I didn't even say, I just said, I don't actually know much about this, but I do know that he has the book out, whatever. Hadn't read the book yet. And so he said, by even mentioning him on my platform at the time was, you know, I don't know, a couple 10,000 people, whatever. It was like almost like I was advocating for him, you know? So again, I agree with you. I think we all have to just have more conversations about like, what's the actual truth instead of jumping to the conclusion. Totally agree with all of that. I think that sometimes all of this can feel, because remember, it's like, okay, now you got to keep up with news. Now you got to watch like long ass interviews like you're talking about. But I'm like, I got to make money. I got kids. I got, you know, I got to get the kids to practice and the activities. Yeah. And I got, you know what I mean? So it can just at some point, you just go, something's got to give. I'm just turning it off. Like, so Instagram's filter, I'm just keeping it off. I could see how you just get so overwhelmed. I could see how, like with my dad, how much he loves it. Like I could see for him, it makes him feel purposeful. Like he's keeping up with something, you know, and he's like a say in it and he wants to talk to folks about it and whatever. I can get that. But then the other side of the coin is this is just all too fucking much to even start sifting through. So I'm just going to turn it off. I'm just going to, that's the thing that's going to go. And I think for a lot of us, especially post pandemic, are feeling that way. It's like, it's so much to keep up with. And now it's like, I got to, not only do I have to be informed, but I got to get the right sources. I got to do my own research. I got to do my, it's just easier to turn it off. I feel like I'm probably in that camp. And when I say that, it even feels vulnerable to say that because I do feel judgment, self-judgment of being like, but it's irresponsible and you should keep up with it. Then I guess this is the next question for you, which is, does someone who doesn't keep up with it and decides not to pay attention, do they have the right to vote? Right. So it's like, cool, like I'm not paying attention to anything, but I'm just going to go to the polls in November. Do I have a right? I mean, of course I have a right to vote, but like, but that's what I think a lot of people are fearing is that people are just going to show up to the polls without doing their own research. And I think that I think
90% of the time that's how totally. People vote. I think the amount of people who research before they vote is so small.
Totally.
And I know, you know, how many times have you gone to the polls and pretty much we only know who the presidential nominees are and then maybe like maybe a governor or mayor. And then the rest, you're just picking names. I'm like, okay, who's the girl?
That's I'm like, who's the woman? For. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, yep. Or like who's a name that I like more? We really don't have the capacity. I mean, I'm sure we do have the capacity if we wanted to like prioritize, but is that in priority with your kids and your totally. Family and your job and all that to go through and read about every person who's on the ballot? No. So do you have the right to vote? Yes. Because otherwise we would only have a handful of people who are voting. And even those people who are quote doing the research and who have an informed vote, is it biased based on the news that they're watching? Like who are we saying is informed? Is informed how? How is it informed? By watching Fox and that's how they went to vote for Trump, or by watching CNN and that's why they went to vote for Biden? So we can't even say those people who are think they're informed, are they actually even informed? Are they truly informed? You know, if they maybe are living and working in Washington, D.C., and they see firsthand, maybe then those people are informed. So we would have a very, very small pool of people voting if we were only saying people who are informed. So yes, I think you do have a right to.
You know what I saw really? I thought this was really interesting in 2020. A lot of folks on social media who were like, you know, the people who were keeping up with politics, right? Maybe they were like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm Democrat or I'm Republican or I'm left or I'm right or whatever. And they had been talking a lot about politics. I was following some of these folks. And what they did before, like the week of the election, was they posted who they were voting for every yeah. single office. And I thought that was really interesting from a influencer perspective, that you really do have, as an influencer, you have the ability, if someone really loves you and really appreciates your content and really follows you closely, like people are literally just screenshotting this person's ballot and taking yep. it to the ballot. They're like, oh, cool. It's almost like a shortcut. It's like, I don't have to do yep. the research because the person who I agree with and the person whose stuff I love has already done the research for me. I'm just yeah. going to screenshot what whoever they're going to vote for, and I'll bring that to the polls. I thought that was really interesting. It's almost like a borrowed being informed, right? It's like borrowed information.
Well, it's new to influencers, but it's not new in general. For years, I've seen in the mail, like the police union or the firefighters union would send out a mailer and say, here's who we're endorsing and voting for. So you can take this piece of paper and just copy us.
Wow.
So if you know, if yep. you are with the unions, here's who we're endorsing. So that's interesting for an influencer, but it's been happening for yeah. a long time because I think people don't know. So they're like, yeah, I am with this organization. I believe what they believe. So I think they've done the research. And so I'm going to take this piece of paper with me. Yeah. So I think that's kind of normal. Not normal, but I think it's not new. And that would be one way, honestly, if there's somebody that I've been following, I'm thinking, I don't know who in particular, but if there was someone that I'm like, I really respect them and I think that they've done it and I'd probably take the screenshot and do it too, depending on where I was at in time. If I didn't have the time to do it, the research myself, and I wanted to make sure that I did vote so that I felt like I was doing my duty and that I counted. Yeah, for sure. It makes sense to me, actually.
Yeah.
But I've seen that before with organizations yeah. where they send a mailer, a postcard and say, here's the people, even the churches. I've seen this, you know, organizations, they're like, here's who we are.
Endorsing.
Not saying you have to, but here's who we're endorsing. Not necessarily saying we're suggesting, but hint, hint, we are suggesting you vote for them too.
It was interesting last week when that Instagram thing came out, more people than not were upset by it. You know, like I was, and at first I was like, I can understand why, like they're filtering out stuff that you might want to see. And so no one likes that. No one likes their autonomy being taken away. Right. So the idea that like, I could see people being upset that like the toggle was automatically off. So you had to go in and you had to look in yeah. your settings and you had to change it manually back to show me political content. So the default was don't show me political content. I could see how you would feel like some kind of way about that. It's just in generally taking your choice away. But when I thought about it, like, and I was literally like thinking about it, I was like, oh, I actually don't know that I'll turn mine on. Like, I was like, okay, yes, I understand yeah. like the idea that they took that choice away from you, but then it becomes a conversation of like, it, you know, do you need to make yourself look at political content? Like, do you just need to make yourself do it because that's the responsible thing to do? Or do you leave it off because you're just like, actually, I don't want my entire feed, especially as we get closer to the election, to be filled with people just arguing about different things. And does that, like you said earlier about protecting your peace, you know, it is, it's a tough decision.
Yeah, it is a tough decision. I think, you know, it's interesting about the toggle, because I feel like what we should see in our feed is whoever we follow and whatever they post.
Yeah.
But we know that's not the case. We still see other random things. We see ads, we see things we're not necessarily looking for. And a lot of people follow strictly political things. So I'm curious about how their feed will look if they're like very, very, you know, politically activated, or they follow a lot of politics. You know, what's their feed going to look like? Is it just going to suddenly go to the puppies or what? But, you know, ultimately, like with this conversation, I think we are getting into an age, and AI is going to make it even slipperier. The slippery slope that's getting more slippery is knowing what's real and what's not. So in the 60s, 70s, and earlier than that, the person in control had the information, and getting information gave you more control and more options. Today, we are in a place of so much information. It's now about sifting and filtering and getting rid of information. We have too much information coming at us, and we don't know what we need to process. And there's, like you said, there's too much. We have our families, we have work, we have kids, we have all of this stuff. So we have to filter, and that is on us to like block stuff out. And now we're with AI and with the telephone game that runs rampant, is that now not only do we have to filter what we want to see, we have to filter what's even true and what's real. Before, what's true was one filter, but now it's what's real. And that's what fucks me up is, you know, they made a couple of, it was maybe a year and a half ago when these photos were going around of Trump being arrested, like he's in a jumper, a prison jumper outfit and like going to prison. And they were AI created images. Mm. And that got around that those weren't real images. They looked fucking real. And now we have these AI videos where people can just talk straight to the camera. And my first thought when I saw the princess explaining her cancer, I was like, is this AI? I don't know, because there's no background behind her. It could very much not have been her. And I feel like we're going to be in a really interesting place over the next few years of taking that filter to another level of, okay, do we know what's true and do we know what's real? And I don't really know the answer to that or how we're going to figure out what is what, to be honest. And it's an interesting place to be, and I'm curious as to how it's going to go. But I think news has already changed, and we're going to have to really be just highly alert and paying attention to what we're looking at, what other people are looking at, and asking ourselves how this feels to us and if we want to continue to see it, and then if we want to continue to get hijacked by it. Mm-hmm. And I think at some point you just get, like, to your point, I think at some point you're like, I'm just tired of being hijacked by this. I can't do it anymore. I'm like cutting it off. And then maybe we're just all going to live in our own bubbles. I don't know, because we can't handle what's out there.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting.
I love how you said to know what's true, and now we need to know what's real. Those are two different things, right? So what's real is like, this could be AI. That's wild to me.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. It is definitely going to be interesting adventure over the next year, especially with it being an election year. I'm sure we'll have more conversations as we get closer to the election about this, but we'd be interested in your take on this. If you're listening to this, did you see the new Instagram feature? Did you toggle it on? Did you toggle it off? You know, what are your thoughts on this? If you are someone who feels like it's really responsible, like, in, like, you have should watch the news because it's really important. I'd be interested in your take on that and exactly why and what specifically, and maybe what your process is. So if you guys have not reached out to us, if you've not joined our free Facebook group, you can always go to thebestlifepodcast.com and then click on the link to join our free Facebook group and request to join. And we would love just your take on this, especially as we get closer to the election. And what's everyone feeling? What's everyone vibing on? What's everyone, nervous about? And then how are you personally sifting through all that's out there? and would just be interested in knowing that. And how are you doing it with all of your other multiple competing priorities? That would also be good to know. So,
yeah.
All right, y'all. That is all we got for you. Anything else, Danny?
No, that's it, y'all.
All right.
Subscribe. We'll see you on the next episode.
Okay. Thank you, guys. We'll see you soon. Bye.